the nature of acquiring complex investments like the Coast Guard, you're going to have risks and you're going to have issues that you have to manage. As reports have noted in the past, the Coast Guard moved away from the use of a lead systems integrator, which required them to start managing and acquiring these assets themselves more directly. And what we've been finding recently is that there's some, over time, some discovery. As they're looking at these assets that they're buying, they have much more insight than they might have previously as to what they're really acquiring, the nature of the risks involved in acquiring it, the cost and schedule. And we're seeing some schedule and cost increases. And I can go into more detail if you'd like.
You are seeing some schedule and cost increases?
Yes, for a number of the programs. I believe when you look at what Coast Guard reported back, I think, in December 2010, we found that 8 of their 17 major programs, and now we're talking some additional programs beyond the deep water, where they've been updating their cost and schedule baselines. And in part, it's due to unrealistic budget planning, and that was a point that we made both in the report, but as well as in testimony that we had the same day.
Now, there was also a hearing involving this. What was some of the back and forth with the hearing? What were some of the response you got from lawmakers?
Well, I think one of the key points for the hearing that we were trying to make is this point about the unrealistic budgeting. We think it's important, and we had a recommendation last year that the Coast Guard complete and present to Congress a comprehensive review of the program, and we wanted the Coast Guard to clarify the overall cost schedule, the quantities of what they're buying, and the mix of assets that are needed to carry out their needs. And what we felt was that they need to consider a variety of trade-offs. And one of the points that we made at the hearing was that the Coast Guard really wasn't considering any trade-offs of perhaps buying fewer assets, recognizing that we're under a very critical fiscal constraint environment. One thing that was a focus of the mandate, which I think was an interesting question Congress raised, was to what extent Coast Guard leverages other agencies, in this case DOD. And what we found in doing that work is that, in fact, Coast Guard has leveraged DOD, particularly the Navy, in many different ways. They've had Navy support in terms of their program management and their design and cost estimating. Those are technical skills. That's a good thing that the government is sharing the resources in that way. But they also have leveraged the Air Force. For example, Air Force has a certain type of fixed-wing aircraft that the Coast Guard can also use, so there's leveraging along those lines. And I think that was a very positive thing that we found. We did have a recommendation as it relates to that, and we felt that Coast Guard has approximately 80 different agreements with the DOD for providing different types of support, and we felt that there wasn't enough visibility into all those agreements at the program level within the Coast Guard to be able to take even more advantage of those situations.
I see. So making sure that staff has access to those agreements and knows what they are.
That's correct. And I think greater visibility, there may be some untapped opportunities, and that might help in the long run even give the taxpayer a better product.
We are talking with John Hutton. He is the Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO. So is that what the problem is that they are not managing their money appropriately, or is it that the budget is constrained, or do they seem to work together? I mean, it seems like one could impact the other.
It does impact each other, and that was one of our key points. You know, we show that there was some optimistic budgeting, for example. If you look at kind of what Coast Guard historically has been getting for their major acquisitions, they basically have been getting an average of $1.38 billion. And when you look at what they're forecasting in the future, say in the 2013 through 2016, they're anticipating up to $1.9 billion. And what that really is showing is that, you know, they're forecasting in the future they're going to get a lot more money. And I think our point is, you know, historically, that kind of optimistic budgeting, when you don't get the money, it creates some issues for the programs, and you have to rebaseline, and that funding instability can impact the overall programs.
So where's the disconnect then? Is it just, as you said, optimistic budgeting, or is there some sort of coordination that has to go on in addition to that?
Well, we make a point in our report and testimony that given the fiscal realities, you ought to at least be thinking about scenarios where you may not be getting what you think you need to drive the program to success. And because, as we note, we're under very fiscal constraints, and you know, that to think about those scenarios, I think, will help. I mean, they have a challenge. They need to meet their missions as best they can, but it's also within the resources that Congress decides is available for this.
Does the Coast Guard agree with what you found?
Coast Guard has been very good agreeing with our recommendations. They've implemented many of our recommendations. One of the biggest ones that we feel is still out there, though, is the one about the need to conduct this trade-off analysis of cost, schedule, quantities, and mix of assets, given the fiscal constraints. But we are moving forward. We continue to do work, and we hope to be issuing a report, another report later this year.
So when you're talking about the analysis that still has to be handled, is it something that has been an ongoing problem along and along, that it is just a very complex and difficult thing to put together? That's why it hasn't happened yet, or it happened to your satisfaction?
Well, it is obviously complex because you're acquiring a mix of assets, and this is a very large acquisition for the Coast Guard. It's a major recapitalization effort where they're buying helicopters, ships, and fixed-wing aircraft and command control communications, a lot of different investments. And they initially were buying a solution of a certain number of assets with certain capabilities, and as they've, over time, as they've acquired and started taking more direct management of the execution of the program, they're learning more and more about the program. But I think when you think about the issues I've mentioned earlier about mm-hmm. the funding, those are issues that we had brought up even earlier in the program, that because it's such a large recapitalization effort, you know, we raised the question of the expectations. Will the annual funding levels be what they think they need to be able to execute their program?
And you say that another report is due out this year from GAO on this topic?
We'll continue to, as we do annually, provide Congress with the latest update of what we've learned about the Coast Guard's efforts in managing their major acquisitions.